Welcome to Reputation Online, a podcast about how individuals and organizations can develop and protect their reputation on the internet. We talk to business leaders, journalists, and PR professionals about the growing importance of social media and the challenges to business communicators.
Hello, I'm Steve Cropper. Statistically speaking, the average chief executive officer lasts about 3 years leading any single organization. That's not a long time, especially for a CEO who has a clear mandate for changing an organization. There are a lot of pressures on the CEO of a publicly listed company, or really any organization, from staff and senior colleagues, legislators, customers, and of course, the board of directors. During that average 3-year term, it turns out that there are 5 distinct stages a CEO goes through during their stewardship of an entity that they lead. Many CEOs, perhaps even most CEOs, are unaware of this leadership life cycle. Well, joining me now is a man who specializes in working with leaders in public and private sector organizations to help them find their feet in the early stages, plot a course for their leadership through the 5 phases, and end their 3-year term, either return to the post by their board or successfully moving on to the next role in their CEO career. My Reputation Online guest is Rod Paul, and he joins me on the phone right now.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for joining us, Rod. Now, you and I first worked together back in the Burson Marsteller years here in Australia, but for the sake of those who don't know you, tell us the Rod Paul story. How did you get to where you are today?
Fine. Well, before the Burson Marsteller period, I'd worked in media and politics in Australia. And then part of that was also involved in doing an Olympic Games bid and a range of other things. But then during the Burson Marsteller days, I headed up the public affairs practice out of Canberra. And a number of those things that we did in that time include the sale of Telstra, Commonwealth Bank sale, and a lot of big campaigns for government and so on. So that it was a school of pretty big campaigns and hard knocks, I think.
And much of that time would have been spent working with very senior people. So you specialize in leadership nowadays, and that's a very broad topic, a hugely elaborate topic. But at the end of the day, a person who leads an organization is an integral part of the reputation of that organization, and your interest is in the CEO personally as a reputational asset to the organization they lead. Tell us about that.
Well, it basically came through my time at Burson Marsteller. I had done a lot of work over the time around major crises, including a Panadol crisis here, and I'd seen CEOs under real pressure, and some perform extremely well and some didn't. And then out of the back of that, I then sort of found out of New York there was a lot of work being done there at the time in relation to the value that CEOs bring or don't bring to an organization through their own particular talents and expertise and profile. And that sort of became a very strong suit that Burson Marsteller carried, and I worked here in Australia on that aspect. Did research here, which replicated the research being done in New York, and we found some very interesting things that happened here in the Australian context. Some of those were that CEOs are, if you like, the fundamental element of the corporate perception, if you like, about value. And that's important because people will tend to buy shares or believe an organization under pressure or be recruited by that organization if there's a person at the top who fundamentally is doing a very, very good job and seem to be doing that. So it's an interesting sort of area of business. Not a lot of people necessarily focus on it, but it's immensely powerful once it's harnessed well.
And, of course, yes, we see plenty of examples of business leaders and leaders of public sector organizations who really make the difference, don't they? But, you know, the top job carries with it a lot of pressing issues. A leader has to confront these during their time in the top job. What are some of those?
Well, I think it's part of sort of, if you like, being the window to the soul of the company is part of that. And often where you find organizations are starting to have trouble is when their CEO's values don't necessarily reflect those of the company or the company would like to represent. Indeed, you might recall, you know, issues in fact involved with the World Bank at the moment, the IMF. Essentially, you've got an organization at a world level which is confronting a difficult personal issue with their CEO. Now, that's replicated time and time again. In fact, we even have our own similar issues in Sydney. But often you find that CEOs don't really understand that very well, or they understand it instinctively. And sometimes if there's a disparity between those two sets of values, then the organization suffers.
And that can have all sorts of multiplier effects and follow-on effects. You know, the dominoes just keep falling, don't they?
Well, it's quite interesting. The value of a CEO is often measured most when they leave the organization because the share price goes up. It means that the market perceives that they've been holding the organization back for whatever reason.
Now, you've told me quite a lot in recent times about the five stages of leadership. What are those five stages?
Well, essentially, what CEOs go through is a selection process, and they normally get a mandate, whether it's from a board or a minister, because this works very well for both the public sector and private sector. And essentially, they get a mandate. And the five stages they go through, which normally is about a three-year period, is they take hold, of course, and they start to respond to the mandate that they've been given. They then get into the organization and get immersed in the business and start to understand beyond their initial reaction where the issues are, where the issues are working well or working not. And then they start to reshape the business into something that they believe will take the organization forward in a positive way. And they start to consolidate that, and that's where the organization really starts to hum, hopefully, where that strategy is put in place, and they refine that. And then finally, if you like, the novelty wears off, some things haven't worked, and they fundamentally fall away to a state where they're somewhat seen as dysfunctional. And that's the challenge, because then they have the chance to either reinvent and revision and go around again, or elect to leave the organization and find other challenges elsewhere, or they might even be asked to leave. Mm. So that's about the pattern, and the pattern has been based on research out of Harvard, and it's been around for a long time, and I've got to say to you, in the time I've been working on this, which is some considerable time, I've not seen an organization too different to this. It's a pattern, it's a dynamic, and that's what seems to work.
So how do you typically approach a project with a CEO or any other kind of leader? In a nutshell, what do you actually do for them?
Well, we basically talk through that dynamic. In fact, I have a CEO life cycle chart, which does in fact chart these particular sort of stages that are typically in an organization for a CEO. And then we sit down and we have a really heart-to-heart discussion about what they're trying to do, what their own personal agenda and personal strategy is, and seeing whether that does or doesn't, if you like, coincide with what the corporate strategy is. Where's the business going? What value can the CEO have? What do his key stakeholders think or can have concerns about the organization? And quite a lot of times, we, independently of the CEO, we talk to those key stakeholders at a very high level, the peer organizations and peer CEOs often, to see truthfully where they sit in the scheme of things. If there are issues which are brewing, then normally what happens, we uncover those and we start to get a far clearer perspective of the context within which the CEO is operating, whether the functions of that CEO's role are being delivered in the minds of the stakeholders well or not, and then you start to sort of build on relationship quality and so on. And that's a very interesting perspective, and often you find that those stakeholders are very robust in their comments. They feel emboldened, if you like, to talk to someone who has been commissioned by the CEO independently to get the feedback. And on the back of that, we then start to obviously get a clearer idea of the issues that the organization and the CEO, whose style might be offending people or perhaps who's not on the right issues, because part of this is making certain that there's an alignment between the issues and the positive push that comes out of a CEO in an organization fits with what the stakeholders expect and need to see.
I'm talking with CEO kingmaker Rod Paul. I hope you don't mind me talking to that.
And queenmaker.
Oh, and queenmaker, yes. Very correct about these sorts of things. Rod, you've just been talking about how, you know, what you're working with CEOs and helping them through their cycle while they're in the job, but you also mentioned about how they can get that tap on the shoulder towards the end. And I certainly have known many a CEO who knew their time was nearly up. They knew the writing was on the wall and that they were going to be dismissed by their board. And others, of course, they decide at some point that they no longer wish to continue in their current role, or they want to move on. So what do you do for them?
Well, basically, the best thing we do with this is when people understand that there's a dynamic here that's pretty standard across both public and private sectors, they have a better confidence about what, you know, they can make decisions, if you like, and look at where they are in the cycle. Now, typically, some people say to me, well, you know, I know some organizations that the CEO has been for 20 years. Qantas is one, for example, Jeff Dixon, who's now gone, but essentially, and Wal King, and two long-term, high-profile CEOs. But when you look at what they would do, they would regularly reinvent and revision the company. They'd create burning platforms around particular issues. In the case of Jeff Dixon, it was often around union negotiations. You know, the organization will be decimated if the pilots get another increase, et cetera, et cetera. We'd often threaten to go offshore. Now, in essence, but he refocused the company around that sort of issue and used it as a base from which to reinvent and revision. And Wal King wasn't dissimilar. You know, the number of times that sort of issues that Wal personally managed were numerous. And in fact, it became known as his company. It was directly connected to him. And so what you generally find is that it's this burning platform issue, this revisioning, reinventing. Once you know what the cycle is and where you sit in the cycle, there are times when you should be very highly visible externally and, you know, communicating the vision. There are other times when obviously you're buried in the organization trying to make sure you get that vision implemented. And it's quite interesting what people judge the organization and CEO on. It's not so much about the well-crafted global vision. It's about how well he or she is able to recruit people around them of great quality, so the team, and how well they can be seen to be implementing whatever vision is developed. So it's about reality and implementation as much as it is about having a grand vision.
And indeed how that impacts itself on the way the organization is perceived by the outside world.
That's right.
And Rod, is this just for CEOs, or can you help out senior managers who are obviously on a leadership trajectory?
Both. In fact, it's often working with people who are on that second tier is often the most rewarding, because invariably the things that you need to do to be a CEO almost make it inevitable that you'll become a very lonely person at some point. You know, the issues are that you often can't confide in people either side of you, upwards and downwards. It often becomes a difficult thing to do. So having your own particular plan, your own CEO plan, whether you're the CEO now or CEO in waiting, or you think you should be the CEO, often those leadership qualities are something that you have to develop and think about and put into context for your own career. And so working with some of those emerging CEOs is often very rewarding, because you can see someone grow and develop and so on. Now, there are people who are CEO coaches and so on, who do a lot of work in and around their own particular personal development stuff. I'm probably more thinking about where they sit and how they can, in fact, develop a platform to become the CEO. And when they do, they arrive with that plan in their back pocket. And they know what they're getting into. They know how to, if you like, develop the relationships around them. They know the constellation of stakeholders around them, and they really hit the ground running. And sometimes you'll hear people talk about a CEO in very reverent terms, that wow, he or she really knows what they're talking about. In reality, they've probably got a plan either developed or instinctive in their back pocket, and they're working to their own particular drumbeat.
Yes, yes. People tend not to pull this stuff out of their hat, do they?
I remember talking to one particular CEO when I showed him this material. He said, now I know why XYZ is obviously sort of such a good particular CEO, because he obviously knows this stuff. That's true.
Well, it's certainly food for thought for any CEO or any CEO wannabe, public sector or private sector. And thank you very much for telling us all about it, Rod Paul.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
And if you have a comment about this podcast or a suggestion for a future program, please visit our website at www.reputationaustralia.com.au. Your feedback and ideas are very welcome. I'm Steve Cropper, looking forward to your company next time round.